God is in control. She's a happy girl.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to another podcast of Woman at the Well Ministries, where we believe that all of us have to come to Jesus like the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Our highest priority is making God real in your life. Whether you are listening in our app, in your favorite podcasting app, or on our website at watwm.org, we invite you to sit down with us as we look to the scriptures to learn more about God and to strengthen your daily walk with Jesus Christ.
Living her life for Christ. She's a happy girl.
In this episode of the Woman at the Well Ministries podcast, join Kim Miller and Erica Close in a conversation as we walk with Jesus. In today's conversation, we continue to discuss the importance of the Romans Road and the power it has as a tool to witness to others and build the kingdom of God. Well, hello, everyone. This is Erica Close, and I am here with Kim Miller.
Hello. Thank you for joining us in this podcast as we continue our journey down the Romans Road, making all of us disciples who make other disciples who enlarge the kingdom of God, which is our purpose in life. All of our purposes in life is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. So for the last few Wednesdays, we have been talking about the Romans Road, going verse by verse in detail, looking at how these verses are both truth, but how they are also a tool that you can use when you're sharing the gospel with others. So before we jump into today's verse, I wanted to take an opportunity just to review all of the verses that we call the Romans Road. These verses are a series of verses out of the book of Romans that, when put together, provide a really good picture of what salvation is, why we need salvation, how we can be saved, and then what the results of salvation actually are. So the very first verse in the Romans Road is Romans 3:23. And that verse says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that's the verse that sort of sets the stage for the situation where we are. And then we move on to Romans 6:23 that says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So the wages of sin is death. Having set the stage in Romans 3:23, saying where we are, we learn about the consequences, the results of the fact that we have sinned and do come short of God's glory. And the wages, the results of our sin, is eternal death. Then we move into Romans 5:8. This is the verse that we talked about last Wednesday. And we read, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So last week, we talked about the solution to the problem that we as humans who are sinners find ourselves in. And that is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Christ was gifted to us by God. And through his amazing love, he gave us his son for salvation. Today, we're going to be talking about the next verse on the Romans Road, which is Romans 10:9-10, which reads, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then the last verse, which we'll get to next week in detail, is Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is a celebration verse. But today, we're talking about what is very much an action verse, and that's Romans 10:9-10.
You know, when we get to Romans 10:9-10, which says that we should confess, that we have to confess, it says that, you know, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that gets us to that place where if we're going to confess that he is Lord Jesus, we have to know that we're a sinner in need of a savior. We have to understand what Jesus did because he draws us, the Holy Spirit draws us to him. And we have to see ourselves as the sinner that is explained in Romans 3:23 when he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because if you think that you can make it on your own, then you don't need Jesus.
That's right.
And if you think that you and Jesus have an understanding, unless it's the understanding that unless you know him, you're going to go to hell, then your understanding is not correct. But I want you to understand that Jesus has never and will never send anyone to hell. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we all are a whosoever. So that free gift in Ephesians 2:8 and 9 is available to all of us. But we have to be willing to submit to God and give him our life.
And choose to accept the gift. The gift is there, but we have to make that choice. And then in making that choice, we have to confess it with our mouth. This verse is explicit. It talks about confession, and it talks about believing that God has raised Jesus from the dead for our salvation.
You know, one of the things you said, we have to receive it. And it reminds me of all the gifts underneath a Christmas tree, all the days leading up to Christmas, or whenever you choose to open them. And when it gets to that day that you understand which of those presents under the tree are yours, then you begin to be more interested in those particular presents. And the others kind of don't matter to you. But even then, there's still gifts that are yours that you're not using, applying, or even knowing what they are. And I liken that unto a person who's been in church, who's got friends, who's seen the story, who's maybe even read some of the Word of God, and they know that Jesus Christ died on a cross and was buried and rose again. They understand that account. They may call it a story, or they may think it didn't really happen, but they understand that part of the Bible, at least what it says. They may even have gone to church and played the parts. They may be faithful in the services. But until they understand that that gift of Jesus Christ as their Savior is for them, and that they need him because they can't get to heaven on their own. That's what we know in John 14:6, right? He is the way, the truth, and the life. Until they accept him as Savior and say they are sinners and you're the only way to heaven and Lord, come live in my heart, they're like the people looking at the Christmas gifts. This amazing thing right there in front of them that's all theirs if they'll just receive it. Jesus has done his part. The Holy Spirit continues to do his part, drawing you to be saved. But you got to do it yourself. You got to choose Jesus.
And when you make that choice, this verse out of Romans 10, 9 and 10 makes it clear that the belief that you have in Christ needs to be confessed, right? It needs to be recognized. It needs to be spoken about. I mean, when this is a choice that we make, and we make it clear. We make it clear to ourselves. Generally, we make it clear to others, but it is a clear choice.
Because I think you have to associate yourself with him, because before that, you're associated with the world. And you said you have to confess him. He said, if you don't confess him before men, I won't confess you either before my Father. What do you think it means to confess?
To me, it means to me, it literally means to say out loud, you know, I have made this choice. I mean, clearly, salvation comes through the belief. It comes through the repentance. It comes to us through a prayer and confessing it to Him. But I also believe that there is this point where we confess something. When you confess something, you're stating a belief. You're making that belief clear.
It seems like that Romans 10, 9, and 10 is telling us there aren't any closet Christians, the ones that are just hiding away. Now, I understand in some countries you might have to, but you're telling other believers around you about Him, but not where you're just like, okay, this is just something I'm going to do in my heart, and I'm not telling anyone, like a skeleton in the closet. That's not going to work. You got to align yourself, associate yourself, and I think you have to confess that you need Him, because how can you receive His gift of salvation if you don't think you're in need of a Savior?
And I think, too, I think this verse kind of makes it clear that we make that confession with our mouth. Like, it's something that is in some way spoken. It's something that is said.
I also think it's something that is lived. I don't think it's one moment in time. I think you get saved one moment in time. And I think when you get saved, you get all of Him, including the Holy Spirit. But I think it's a process of time for Him to get really all of you, that process of justification. But I believe that you have to stand for Him. Remember the song in Vacation Bible School, I'm in the Lord's Army?
Yes, I do remember the song.
I love that song. But it's that you have to stand because you're in the Lord's Army.
That's right.
You're a soldier for Christ. You're a warrior, which is why in Ephesians 6, He gives you the armor of God.
When I think about this verse and I think about the things that happen, if you are, say you're following the Romans road with someone and they are accepting Christ, to me, this verse follows the point of understanding. I think, you know, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. To me, that verse represents the understanding that I really understand Christ as the solution for my situation.
And what He did just for me.
For me, exactly. I feel like that is a point of understanding. And then to me, I believe that Romans 10, 9, and 10 represents the point of decision. It's the decision, it's the prayer, it's the understanding. And, you know, we're talking about these verses, talking about them, you know, in depth week by week. But, you know, the Romans Road, it's a tool. And, you know, you can imagine if you're having a conversation with someone and you're sharing the gospel and you're sharing these verses with someone and sort of walking them through these truths, you're going to be sharing most likely a personal story. You know, you can imagine if you're having this conversation with someone, when you get to this verse, you're probably going to talk about your own point of understanding that you needed a Savior, of praying a prayer, you know, praying what we call that sinner's prayer and repenting of your sins. But this to me represents the place where you decide, you get it. Like, it's where your heart gets it. And so your mouth can't but say it.
Amen. That is so true. And you know, when you are taking someone through the Romans Road, you take him through all the verses in one sitting. You don't do what you and I are doing. And so, you know, explain why, because they're sinners. And then you explain how, you know, and then you explain what to do. And it's interesting to me that people, you know, they'll say, I don't know what to do. Well, you can tell somebody how to be saved and not know the Romans Road by simply doing what you just said, explaining how Jesus miraculously saved you. But your words do not have the impact that His words do.
Yeah.
So though you need to explain your conversion, perhaps, like you said, and you need to talk about your story, this is why we're giving you the Romans Road, because this is what He says. And only what He says is the fact.
Well, yeah. I mean, my story is not going to have the power of God's holy word, right? My story is not going to have the transforming power of Scripture. But my story allows another to see we can't just share our story. We have to give people the truth. And that's why we're spending the time talking about these verses.
And your story that you give is so powerful because it makes all the scriptures come alive into what it is. And what's interesting is that we are all sinners in need of a savior. We learn that in the Romans 3:23. I was saved very young, at the age of 5, but I want you to know it took as much of God's blood, of Jesus' blood, to save me, a sinner in need of a savior at age 5, as it does the rankest of sinners murdering and doing all kinds of horrible things, because we are all sinners in need of a savior. I just praise the Lord, my environment at home and where I was raised and the church I was in, I had a very early understanding of who God was. But you may be 75 and God is speaking to your heart. It's never too late because the scripture says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. It is too late if you are no longer alive. So it can be too late. And we're no promise for tomorrow. So we need not only to get the word out to others and help them see they're in need of a savior, because we all have to be saved. As the scripture says, unless your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, unless you've received him as savior, you'll spend eternity in hell. But we also, if you're listening and you don't know him, don't let another moment go by before you make that calling and election sure in your life, because you don't know you're going to get another moment.
I think it's really important that you talk about, you know, a situation where someone who is saved at 5 versus someone who is saved at 75. We all come to that same understanding.
Amen.
It's all believing in our hearts that God raised him from the dead in order that we might be saved. We all have the same point of belief and point of confession and explaining to God and probably to others that we understand.
And it's only through and by God that we can be saved. That's
absolutely
what we're learning in 10:19 is how can he save us? And it's because God raised him from the dead and he was a sinless, perfect Lamb of God. And we do learn that in John 3:16. And so when you believe in your heart, that's when you put some action to it. That's when you're making a choice. I went to church with guy used to say that salvation, the difference between religion and salvation was 18 inches, because he said that was the average distance between your mind, your brain, and your heart. And you could know, but until you believed, until you confessed, until you made that choice, you were not saved. And I always thought that was very powerful. I'm just grateful that God chose to make a way, and yeah, that he's given us a tool, and we can share this with our friends, our loved ones, our coworkers, whoever God puts on your heart. Because if he's putting someone on your heart, that means the Holy Spirit is definitely drawing them. And the Bible says the word will not go void.
And you have been given the word.
Amen.
We've been given the word along with our own testimony, the power of our own testimony to share who God is with others, and to have them understand just how much they are loved, loved enough for someone to die on a cross for their sins.
And you know, if you're just looking for a testimony, several months back, we gave our testimony. I gave my testimony. Erica gave her testimony. We gave the testimony of the woman at the well ministry. So I would encourage you to go back in the podcasts and look up those testimonies. They'll be labeled in a way that you can find them, and allow the Holy Spirit to just take you through those and look at your own life and construct your own story of how to tell others about Jesus. Thank you so much for joining us in this podcast of Woman at the Well Ministries. You are loved. Jesus loves you.
Thank you for joining us in today's podcast. You can visit the show notes for quotes from today's podcast and scripture references. We pray today has been a blessing, and we encourage you to reach out to us through our app, our website, or our Facebook page. You can find our app by searching for Woman at the Well Ministries in your app store or through our website at watwm.org. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/watwm. If you visit our website, you'll be able to subscribe to Bible Bits, a daily devotion written by Kim and delivered Monday through Friday by text message. Woman at the Well Ministries is a nonprofit organization dedicated to serving our Heavenly Father, and it is through your loving and generous support that our ministry continues to bless others. To learn how to partner with Woman at the Well Ministries, please visit our website. Thank you to the gospel group Fudge Creek for letting us use their hit song, Happy Girl. We greatly appreciate your prayers. We are praying daily for our listeners. Remember that God loves you. You are loved.
Happy girl.